Morning.
Welcome. This is God's house, Ephesus Baptist Church. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and praise Him. And I ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen, indeed. The story is told of two friends, Fred and Larry, who bumped into one another on the street. And Fred looked so forlorn and sad, and Larry asked him, said, "What has the world done to you, friend?" And Fred answered, three weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $40,000. "Wow, that's a lot of money," said Larry. And then Fred said, "Then 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I never knew died and left me $85,000. "Well, that's a lot of money," said Larry. He said, "But you don't understand," Fred complained. "Last week, my great aunt died. I inherited $250,000. "Well, you are really blessed," said Larry. What's the problem?" "I'm so confused. Why do you look so glum?" And Fred said, "This week I received nothing." That's the problem with receiving something, even if it is a gift. We eventually expect it. We're sort of like grandchildren. Connie and I had to laugh. The oldest granddaughter in Dallas, his name is Hannah, and her birthday had been a few days before, and we always sent her a birthday gift. So when we pulled up in front of the house after we came from the airport, she was out in the yard. She and her sister were playing, and the first thing she asked was, "Did you bring my birthday present?" And she asked that two or three times before we got in the house. She was expecting it because it was something that had become a regular event. This type of entitlement attitude permeates every level of American society. It's not just with children. It's not just with young people or youth. We have been blessed to live in a land of plenty, and as a result, we have become complacent. And many times, we don't even thank anyone for all the blessings that we receive. We don't give thanks to anyone. Attitude is everything when it comes to Thanksgiving. The attitude we carry with us through our life is of paramount importance, and this is particularly true if we are to live a life which reflects the gratitude towards God for Him being a part of our life. If we don't have that attitude, we are, number one, not going to be great witnesses or mediocre witnesses for God, and we are not going to be good children of His because we don't have that attitude of gratitude towards Him. I want you to listen as I read our text this morning. It comes from John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35, and I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. When they found him being Jesus, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On Him God the Father has placed His seal of approval." Then they ask Him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, what miraculous signs then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. In this text, we have the crowd questioning Jesus. They were asking him how he intended to prove himself again. They were part of the crowd. Remember that Jesus had previously fed when he saw their need for food. He had fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Most of the crowd which Jesus had fed followed him across the lake to Capernaum. And rather than recognizing that Jesus was offering a solution to the real need in their life, they were asking yet again for Jesus to meet a perceived need in their life. And Jesus reminded them of the importance of what he was offering them in his teachings. He taught the people that they needed to feed their souls and minds in order to receive salvation and eternal life, rather than having him perform miracles to meet their perceived physical need for food. When the masses demanded food, Jesus stated that he was providing the spiritual food that they needed. That his teachings were about heaven and how they could enter it. And as these Jewish listeners were attempting to understand Jesus' teaching, he made a historical reference to the manna which God sent from heaven to feed the Israelites as they wandered through the desert for 40 years. He was demonstrating the fact that God met their need when it needed to be met. And again, Jesus tried to turn the discussion to things of the spiritual nature. And the people asked him to provide food. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you would but believe in me, if we would but believe in Jesus, we would never be hungry, at least not in things of a spiritual significance. How sad it is when we, as wayward children, put other perceived needs ahead of the real need for the bread of life made known through Jesus Christ. Jesus is all we need in order to experience a life of eternal blessings. Yet we pursue fame, fortune, cars, boats, homes, money, all types of possessions. And in the process, we neglect the importance of giving thanks to the giver of all good and perfect gifts, the one gift that really matters for our eternal life, salvation through Jesus. We've been blessed by God in ways too numerous to count, yet we behave just like the people in our text. We too want Jesus to provide us one more demonstration of His power and give us one more thing, one more gift. It's almost as if we view Jesus' ministry as a magic show of sorts. We are not satisfied with the deeds He has already performed to demonstrate who He is and why He was sent to us. We want yet another demonstration of His power. And then we'll believe. Just one more time, Jesus. Then we'll believe. Give us this. Give us that. Not thank you for coming to give us eternal life, but give us what we want. Do another magic act. Perform another miracle. And then we will believe. It is well past the time for us to believe in Jesus and in the Father who has sent Him. It is well past the time for us to show our gratitude to Jesus for the gifts He has already given to us. How fortunate we are that God is a patient God. If not, we would have been judged long ago and come up lacking, particularly for our failure to thank Him for the blessings He's provided us. Perhaps you're not feeling so blessed this Thanksgiving season. Maybe you cannot perceive, cannot enumerate the blessings that God has given you. Maybe the pain of life has overwhelmed you to the point where you do not see how blessed you are. Unfortunately, like many people today, maybe you have received so many blessings that you do not view Jesus' blessings as appealing anymore. Go back to the grandchild reference that I made, or children reference. How many times have we lamented about the fact that as children growing up, we got one or two gifts at Christmas. And we, long about August, September, we started thinking about those gifts and probably changed our minds two or three times before we decided on what we wanted Santa Claus to bring us and what we wanted Mom and Dad to bring us. Two gifts. And today, you know, kids go with Mom shopping to the grocery store and the Target's next door, or they go in Walmart to get groceries, and it's, I want this, and I want that. And it's given to them. And they become so inundated, so used to the gifts, that they aren't appreciative of what they've already received. How then can we overcome this mindset of apathy and move towards a true spirit of thanksgiving? How can we develop a spirit of thanksgiving in our culture which teaches us to enter the rat race and compete for status in a world of unthankful people? I don't pretend to have all the answers to that question, but we need to recognize God's blessings in all of their many manifestations and hopefully give thanks to Him even when it's seems impossible to do so. We must make an effort today to recognize the blessings we take for granted. We must focus on what we have rather on what we do not have. And hopefully such behavior will improve our attitude. Well, what can we do to improve our attitude? I'll give you a few suggestions. Be thankful that you do not already have everything. If you had everything, what would there be to look forward to? We wish for money, and we dream of winning the lottery, and we wish we had the money of Donald Trump or one of the oil sheiks. But then when you look into the lives of these people quite often, and I believe more often than not, they are not happy. They have very little to look forward to. They have it all. They don't need to set goals in their life. Be thankful when you don't know every answer. This provides us an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times, because during such times we mature. Be thankful for limitations, for they provide opportunities for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, because it will build strength and character if we but allow it. And be thankful for mistakes. They teach us valuable, valuable lessons. How many times have you heard successful people say, you've got to fail before you can succeed? You need to make those mistakes in order to learn from them. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. That's not a challenge at all. Yet a life of true fulfillment can come to those who are also thankful for their setbacks. As hard as it may be, we must find a way to be thankful for our troubles. For believe it or not, they can become blessings. God's Word provides us example after example of how that is true. And as we look around in this land of plenty, this land we call America, in which we live, it's my prayer that we shall see through new eyes each day the ways that God has blessed us. Get rid of that complacency. Get rid of that attitude of gimme, gimme, gimme. Get rid of that attitude of, God, what have you done for me lately? Perform one more miracle. Just give me the money to buy this. Just provide me an opportunity to have a little notoriety, to be somebody. How often do we do that? Let us never take God's blessings for granted. This year, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, may we each see God for who He really is, and may we see ourselves as who we really are, and that is people who have been blessed beyond measure, people who need to give thanks to the giver of such gifts as we have. We have been given the bread of life, and we know that this bread can satisfy our eternal hunger. So let us be thankful to God, who deserves our thanksgiving. And if you're here today, and you are a child of God, and you've kind of slipped into an attitude of, I deserve this, I need this, give me this, show me one more miracle, then while we sing a hymn of invitation, maybe you should lift up a little silent prayer for God to forgive you for having that attitude. And if you are not a Christian, if you're not a follower, but the Holy Spirit has been touching your heart and you need to know the blessings that God can give you, you need to know that salvation is available, eternal life is available, and we invite you to accept God's offer of that gift. Come forward and make a profession of your faith. As we sing a hymn of invitation, hymn number 502, Open My Eyes That I May See.